Dr. Lawrence White of Our Savior Lutheran Church in Houston, Texas, on why they support Issues Etc.
Our Savior in Houston has deliberately included Issues Etc. as a significant part of our outreach ministry, and we regard every dollar that we've committed to this ministry is a dollar well spent in the extension of the kingdom of God, the proclamation of the Lord Jesus Christ, the demonstration that our Lord Jesus is not irrelevant to what's going on in the culture, that our historic biblical Lutheran theology is more urgently needed at this moment than at any other moment in history, and Issues Etc. is in the forefront of that movement.
To find out how your congregation can support this worldwide outreach, visit the support page of our website, issuesetc.org, and look for the Issues Etc. 300. Welcome back. Deaconess Pam Nielsen is with us for the next half hour of the program. We're going to be talking about God's call of Abram. He's still Abram at this point, right at the very beginning of the story that would put us in Genesis chapter 12 and following. You will note that this is a big story. Abram and his descendants occupy, well, the rest of the Old Testament and, in fact, the New Testament as well. But are we only talking about, what, Jewish history? That is, the blood descendants of Abram are ethnic Jews then and today. So is this just Jewish history, or is it part of our history as well? Deaconess Pam Nielsen is senior editor of Sunday School Youth and Family Materials for Concordia Publishing House, their Sunday school curriculum called Growing in Christ. Hi, Pam.
Hi, Pastor. How are you today?
I'm doing good. And how are you?
I'm great as well. It's a wonderful day.
Is this just Jewish history? Because, I mean, only ethnic Jews could genetically, in terms of the bloodline, trace themselves back along with the other descendants of Abraham. Is this just Jewish history?
Well, great setup here for our discussion. Of course, it's not just Jewish history. This is our history. It's the history of the people of God who are his people through faith. And that comes out beautifully in this text. It's not that Abram's a Jew, it's that he believes in God and the promise of God to send a Savior. And that makes him our brother, all of us who believe in that salvation, that Savior that God promised. We trust in what Christ did for us on the cross, and that makes us brothers and sisters with Abram and Sarah and all of the rest of that Old Testament train of faith. It's all about faith, and that's what makes us sons of God.
Before Abram was, before he was a believer in God, before he believed God's promises, was called, what was he?
Well, an idolater, really, right? His family worshipped other gods. He comes out of that, and it's a great thing to point out to the children that he wasn't some great guy that lived a perfect life and did everything right. God picked a sinner like you and I to bring about his promise of salvation through Abram's family, through his offspring, and that is the family line that ultimately gives us Christ in his humanity. Son of God in his divinity, of course. But no, Abram doesn't come from any special stock. In fact, family that didn't look to God in faith and look to other gods.
So how does tell us the story of God's call of Abram.
Well, sure. We have just 9 verses here for Sunday, Genesis 12, and it begins with God speaking to Abram, telling him, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. Now, that's huge, because especially in that day, families and relatives stuck together, and they had lands, and your whole identity, your whole existence was wrapped up in being with your people in your lands. So to have the Lord tell him to go, and he doesn't even really tell him where, I'll show you. And then God goes on and says, I will make of you a great nation, and I'll bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. And then he even says, in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. What an amazing thing to say to this man, Abram. And very simply, verse 4, so Abram went, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. And it says that he was 75 years old when he departed the land of his people, and he took his wife and Lot, his brother's son, and all their possessions, everything they'd gathered, and the people that they had acquired while they were in that land of Haran, and they set out to go to the land of Canaan, the land that God had promised. So quite a stepping out in faith. God told him to do it, so he goes at 75 years old. Just at the time when we're looking to settle in and tuck ourselves in for the rest of our lives and don't like change. And then it says that they came to the land of Canaan, and he passed through it. And there were Canaanites in the land, and the Lord says to him, I will give this land to your offspring. And so Abram, again, believing, he builds an altar, and then he moves to on to the east, pitches a tent, and then he builds another altar, and he calls upon the name of the Lord, and then he journeys on even further. In all of this, a journey of faith, not knowing where he's going, not knowing where he's being led, trusting God at every turn, and building these altars, really they're altars of thanksgiving for what God is doing and what God is promising. And that is the whole of our text for our lesson this Sunday. But there's a lot here.
So much of this part, in fact, the whole story of Abraham, in fact, of his immediate descendants too, I mean, Isaac and Jacob and his sons, is waiting for, at the very least, the intermediate or the immediate fulfillment of these promises. He doesn't, I mean, I've always been struck by the incredible irony of God's way of doing this by taking a guy who can't have children, his yeah. wife can't have children, then he makes them wait 25 years until they're yeah. both completely, and I mean, the yeah. New Testament writer says, body as good as dead, so there's no children coming from here. He makes them wait this incredible, you know,
that's right.
25 years, then just gives them one little son.
Yeah.
And it seems to kind of typify the way God is going to keep this bigger promise about the rescue of mankind from sin.
That's right. It continues, you know, from one to the next to the next. And through one man, salvation would come ultimately through the Son of God, Christ, born to Mary. Just as we know, sin entered the world through the one man, Adam, and St. Paul spends a lot of time talking about that. The one man, Adam, brings sin into the world, and then God provides his son, the God-man, who restores the lost, broken world through his sacrifice, the final perfect sacrifice. And it is amazing. And in it, you know, dangerous waters here for Sunday school teachers, because you could very easily get hooked up on the great faith of Abraham. Look how faithful he was, that he took what God said and made this journey in his old age and all these things and crossed this land and believed what God said. Well, he did believe. That's true. That's a fact. Recorded well in many places in Scripture. But we've got to make sure that we talk about faith, Abraham's faith, and then our own in the way that really speaks the truth about it. It's nothing we do. It's nothing that Abram does. Yes, he came out of an idolatrous land, and that's the land of Ur, where our soldiers are today in Iraq, if you want to talk about that with the kids and show them on a map. But there was no reason for him to believe God, no human reason, and yet he believes. And that is only by the power of the Holy Spirit working as God speaks to him. He believed what God said. And we got to really point the kids to where that faith comes from, and also point out that if it weren't God sustaining his faith, creating and sustaining it, how could he have made this journey? How could he have done what he did and his descendants after him? It has to be faith. Otherwise, you know, when you look around, what would be the point of leaving the land you knew and having all the things that you had and walking away from that? Humanly, this made no sense.
The theme of blessing is very strong in this call, mm-hmm. both in the way it's first expressed, and then it's repeated several times throughout Abram's life. And it is that he would bless Abraham,
yes.
that he would bless those who bless him and curse those who curse him, that he would, through his descendants, bless the entire world. All nations of the world shall be blessed through you. What is that about?
Well, that is the blessing, isn't it? It's the blessing of the Savior, the one who was promised to Adam and Eve when they sinned in the garden, the one who would reverse the curse of sin and who would bring again God's blessing to people, to the children of God, to the world. And that is Christ, who comes reversing the curse on the cross and bringing the ultimate blessings of forgiveness, life, and salvation through his suffering and death, through his sacrifice. And he's a descendant of Abram's, and that's the Christ connection here in this story. That's the cross connection that we talk about so often, and we want to make it for our children on Sunday so that they understand that this blessing has to do with salvation, and it has to do with Christ, who is the blessing that's promised here.
Deaconess Pam Nielsen is our guest. When we come back, 10 more minutes with her on this Monday afternoon. It's the 4th of October. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. We'll return to the theme of blessing and the scope of God's promise to Abram. Many today simply interpret it too small. They think it's about that land. They think it's just about those blood descendants, when in fact, through Abram's seed, through the offspring, that gets us back to Genesis chapter 3, God has a greater plan for the whole world. We'll be right back. We've got nothing against bumper stickers, just bumper sticker theology, and we'd like to send you an Issues Etc. bumper sticker. You'll find the Issues Etc. logo, slogan, and website address. Simply send your request to Lutheran Public Radio, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Please include a self-addressed stamped envelope. Good theology doesn't fit on a bumper sticker, but you can tell people where to find good theology, the Issues Etc. bumper or window sticker.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
Listen to what you want, when you want. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Mount Zion Lutheran, Greenfield, Wisconsin. Pilgrim Lutheran, West Bend, Wisconsin. Messiah Lutheran, Lebanon, Illinois. Zion Lutheran, Accident, Maryland. Redeemer Lutheran, Jackson, Wyoming. Messiah Lutheran, Marysville, Washington. Trinity Lutheran, Millstadt, Illinois. Our Savior Lutheran, Houston, Texas. St. Matthew's Lutheran, Bon Terre, Missouri. Good Shepherd Lutheran, Lincoln, Nebraska. Hope Lutheran, St. Louis, Missouri. Trinity Lutheran, Austin, Texas. Good Shepherd Lutheran, Collinsville, Illinois. Luther Memorial Chapel, Shorewood, Wisconsin. Christ Lutheran, Oak Park, Illinois. Bethany Lutheran, Naperville, Illinois. And Emmanuel Lutheran, Dearborn, Michigan. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget at our website, issuesetc.org. Click support. The Issues Etc. 300. Welcome back to Issues Etc. We're talking about God's call of Abram in the Old Testament, Genesis chapter 12 and thereabouts. Deaconess Pam Nielsen is our guest. All our conversations with Pam on these Monday afternoons are based upon Concordia Publishing House's Sunday school curriculum called Growing in Christ. And as you can see from our conversation here, unlike so much of kind of the Bible story Sunday school material that you find in Christian publishing, Concordia Publishing House is intent upon these Old Testament stories, the New Testament stories, and all the lessons taught Sunday school children, that they focus upon Christ and his saving work at the cross. And it is not a stretch. You don't have to shoehorn Christ into these stories. He is right there. We are told in the New Testament that it was in view of Christ and the promise and the greater fulfillment that Abram did the things that he did and believed the things that he believed. Find out more about Concordia Publishing House's Sunday school curriculum called Growing in Christ. Give them a call, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040, or visit our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand, and you'll see a link to Growing in Christ. Pam, get back to the scope of this promise. This really is a continuation of the first promise that we talked about a couple weeks ago, where God promises a descendant, a seed, through whom he would crush the serpent's head. Talk about that, if you would.
Well, that's right. That was the first promise, the first gospel in the Bible, and it came as response to the first sin that brought death into the world. And what you have in the first 11 chapters of Genesis really is the creation of the world and the history of all humanity. But when you get here to Genesis 12, it's sort of a new era being ushered in, because in this now, God narrows it all down and he calls one person, Abram, to be both the physical and spiritual father of his chosen people. And so now God is going to work through Abram and his descendants to bring about salvation for all. And that line of descendants, as we know, culminates in Christ. And that's why we've got these genealogies listed in various places in Scripture, and Matthew takes great pains to list this out so that we can understand how this came and how this promise was realized, this thread of salvation going through the history of mankind. And we become part of that genealogy when we're brought into the family of God through water and the Word, brought in by faith. And St. Paul, Galatians chapter 3, talks to the Galatians and, you know, beats them over the head, by faith or by works of the law, which is it? And, you know, he makes the case that just as Abraham believed God, it was counted to him as righteousness. It's about faith, and God gives us that faith. So we have nothing that we have to do. He does it for us.
So this is what Paul is getting at when he talks about in the center chapters of Romans, where he says, look, if it were about Abraham's obedience, then Abraham would just have been getting just wages for what he did. But this is not a wage thing. This is a gift thing.
It's a gift, and it's a merciful thing. It's all gift. It's all mercy. What Abraham deserved is what you and I deserve. It's what every child in our Sunday school deserves. Eternal death and damnation. Harsh, but that is the reality. The wages of sin is death. And I don't know a person, past, present, and I don't believe I'll know one in the future that is not a sinner, because we are conceived in sin. And so as cute as our little cherubs are on Sunday mornings, maybe not every Sunday as we think they should be, they're sinners and rotten to the core like we are in terms of the cost of sin and what has to happen. And what has to happen is that someone has to die to pay for those sins, and that someone was Christ. And he was one man, instead of all men dying for all of their sins and never fully paying the price, the Son of God comes to this earth, lives among us, suffers, and dies on the cross, taking on the sins of the whole world, reversing what happened in the garden. And he is humanly descendant from Abraham and Sarah, and he is also divine, the Son of God. And so he could take on our sin and make payment for it. And it is all gift, all mercy. And it was God's plan from the beginning. And as we read through these Old Testament stories, we see it being carried out, his plan very carefully worked out for our salvation. What a wonderful gift.
But it did take a long time.
Yes.
I mean, not only in Abraham's life, but in the whole course of that sweeping history. I mean, Paul summarizes it in Romans when he says, in the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son. And it, maybe what we underestimate is God's tremendous patience, not only with us, but with the whole world. Talk about that with a few minutes left.
Well, I think that's right. You know, and sometimes we look at that and we get impatient. Oh, how long, oh Lord, how long? And we know the Israelites did get impatient in the wilderness, and all of God's people through the scriptures, we see signs of that, and we see it in our own lives. But the reverse of that is what's most beautiful. The patience of God, not wanting anyone to be lost, but that all should come to know the Savior and to believe in him and trust in him for salvation. And so he has waited, and he is waiting now. Christ will come again, and we've been waiting for that. And some days we say, how long, O Lord? And yet it is in his great mercy that he waits and is patient so that all would come to believe.
One of the little songs that children are taught to sing, Pam, and I can't even remember exactly how it goes, but it's about Abraham had many sons. And,
yes.
And then I am one of them. There's a tremendous truth in there. What is the comfort of knowing that sharing the same faith as Abraham, we are indeed now numbered among his true descendant.
That's right. It's a wonderful song. I am one of him. I am one of them, and so are you. So let's all praise the Lord, goes the song. We are his brothers and sisters. We are his offspring through faith, and that makes us brothers and sisters with Christ. It makes us heirs of the promise. It makes us heirs of salvation, and so we get all of that blessing that God promised in the garden and lays here on Abram and says that through him would all the world be blessed. We are blessed because we have been brought into his family through faith, through water and the word and baptism, God calling us, adopting us as sons. And we are truly, we're truly able to say, Father Abraham, I am one of your sons because we are sons of God.
And finally, with only a minute, the promises that God makes in our lives, obviously all comprehended in the promise kept in Jesus Christ, but many promises that we live with from Holy Scripture every day, we often must patiently wait for their keeping, at least in our particular instance. Talk briefly about that with only a minute.
Well, you know, I was thinking about that in my own life and how easy for us to look all around, as Abraham must have, Moses must have many times looked around, and what we can see and hear and experience seems at times very grim, impossible things to surmount, walls that we can't get around, and yet the promise remains. Nothing changes about what God promised or what he has done and what that means for you and I. So no matter what our senses and our reason tell us, faith grabs a hold of us and says, you are a child of God. You are baptized. Eternal life is yours. The blessings of God are yours. All his gifts are yours, even though at this moment it all seems dark or impossible. The reality in faith, it is true. The gifts that he gives are real. And that's a wonderful thing, and it's an important thing to instill in the children, to help them see with eyes of faith rather than human eyes that use reason and all our senses to determine things about God.
Deaconess Pam Nielsen is Senior Editor of Sunday School Youth and Family Materials for Concordia Publishing House. CPH has a Sunday School curriculum called Growing in Christ. Pam, it's always a pleasure. Talk with you again next week.
Thank you so much. Have a great week.
When we come back, we're not actually going to be leaving the subject of Abraham very far behind because, and now this is a far more sophisticated conversation, but one that I urge you to stay tuned for, Dr. Andrew Doss of Elmhurst College is going to be joining us. Almost a year ago, we did an interview with Bishop N.T. Wright. Now, the reason you've never heard it is because it was on the new perspective on Paul, and we wanted to be able to bring it to you, our listeners, in a way that all of us could understand. And I will readily admit, it's been years that I've been looking at this subject and has been difficult for me to understand. Well, combining the conversation with Bishop N.T. Wright on the new perspectives on Paul with the explanation and the response of Dr. Andrew Doss is our goal for the next hour of Issues, Etc. In fact, it's probably only going to be part one of a two-part conversation with Dr. Doss on the new perspective on Paul. If you've heard about it and it's confused you, we will clear up that confusion on the other side of the break in hour two of Issues, Etc. this Monday afternoon, October the 4th. Stay tuned.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues, Etc. Issues, Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues, Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.